Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Today, our pastor has a special word just for our partners. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
You know, I really pray. I go to him and I say, Lord, what do our partners, what do our friends need to hear? And this is the word that he gave to me for you. We're going to get into this word, and that is the power of acknowledging or acknowledgement. We're going to talk about what you acknowledge is what you recognize, and what you recognize is what God wants to project and for you to get a hold of. It's pretty hard to get anything in life without acknowledging you need it, or even before that, acknowledging that you want it, that you desire it. How about acknowledging that it's been made available to you? It's what you believe deep in the core of your soul. This isn't something that just you get up here, a warm, fuzzy feeling. God wants this to sink down on the inside of you. He wants the logos to become rhema. He wants knowledge to become revelation. And it's my prayer, each time we come together, that something in the teaching, something that is said, is quickened to you. You may not need to hear the whole story. You may not need to know the whole teaching. But there's that one little phrase that can change the rest of your life. It's found in Mark chapter 10. It's the story of blind Bartimaeus. Many of you know this story very, very well. He was a beggar, and in verse 47, it says, when he heard that Jesus was coming his way, Jesus from Nazareth, he began to cry out, and he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Many charged him, I have a hard time relating to this part of the story, but many charged him that he should hold his peace. That's the King James way of saying, shut up, blind man, shut up, keep quiet, don't say anything, don't yell like that. But he began to cry even louder. All he could do was talk and hear, he couldn't see, so he was using what he had. He was using his hearing, he was using his mouth, his words. He couldn't see, so he was using what he had to get a hold of a one that could help him. And as he did that, the Bible says that Jesus stood still. It means he was in motion going somewhere else, but whenever he heard the words of this blind man, he stopped in his tracks and he said, bring him to me. And the Bible says here in verse 49, and they told him, the blind man, he's calling for you. Get happy. Get excited. He wants to talk to you. In verse 50, he casted away his garment, and he came to him, Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, what do you want me to do? The blind man said, I'd like to receive my sight. And Jesus said, go thy way. Your faith has made you well. Amazing story that this blind man had the power because of what he said. It wasn't that he had the biggest mouth in Jerusalem. It wasn't that he raised his voice, you know, like we do sometimes in the churches. The louder that I yell, the more that God hears me. It wasn't that at all. It wasn't that at all. It was more what he said. It was more the weight of his words. The substance of what he was saying is what grabbed a hold of the attention of Jesus. The fact that you and I have the capability, hear me, we have the capability to stop Jesus in his tracks at your home, at your church pastor. You need answers. You have the ability to stop Jesus right in your church or in your business, wherever the need is today. We have the ability to get God to listen quickly. To get God, I mean, there's over 8 billion people on the planet today, over 8 billion. And Billy Burke, are you telling me that I can get God to stop in my house? I am. Are you telling me I can get God to come into my church? I am. But sometimes we're so busy in rhetoric. I mean, there is religious rhetoric. Ezekiel's Ecclesiastes that says you fill the air with words, but there's no fire, there's no meaning in them. Bartimaeus was saying, thou son of David. It wasn't how loud he was yelling. It's what he was saying. Everybody else was saying, Jesus from Nazareth, Jesus from Nazareth. But one man in the whole group was saying different words. One man said, I'm not going to follow the crowd. I'm going to follow the cloud. I'm going to hear He isn't just Jesus from Nazareth to me. The blind man is saying to me, he's the Son of David. And he began to scream, thou Son. See, it matters who Jesus is to you. He's not the same to everybody. You can be in a whole big setting of church and people and friends. You can be sitting around the Thanksgiving table, the Christmas tree, or, you know, you can be at a celebration into the resurrection in the spring. You can be around all kind of people. But they, who Jesus is to them is uniquely different than who is he to you. For some people, he's a savior. For some people, he's just a prophet. For some people, he's just a teacher. For some people, he's their healer. For some, and I hope for a lot of you, he's the soon and coming king that gives you an eternal place to spend with him. So he was, by him saying, thou Son of David, he was recognizing his deity. He was recognizing that he was more than a mere man. He was more than a prophet. He was more than a teacher. That he was, what? He was the Son of David. What's the Son of David? The messianic prophecies. The messianic promises that he was the coming, and that stopped him in his tracks. Why would it stop him? Because Jesus likes to be acknowledged for who he is. You know, that he's more than just someone that shows up when you have trouble. He's more than just someone that shows up when you die your natural death. You know, at that, he's more than just those extremes. He's more than just that person that comes to dedicate your baby. He's your daily savior. He's your daily restorer of the breach. He's your daily healer. He's your ever-present. He comes to live on the inside of you. Oh, please hear what I'm saying to you. But that has to be acknowledged. Only acknowledging is what makes things real to you. Anything that's real to you right now, be it bad, be it evil, be it dirty, whatever it is, the fact that it's real to you means that it has been repeated and rehearsed. What you rehearse is what your reality is. That's what changes your reality, is whatever you're rehearsing, whatever thoughts are going through your head. But I don't want you to think just rehearsing anything. We're talking here about Jesus. You know, we're not talking here just about a historical figure. We're not just talking here about, one day he did live on planet Earth and one day we'll see him again. We're talking about here the acknowledgement that he was your Savior. He saves you from your past. He saves you in your present. And he saves you in your future. And the fact that Jesus found one person in the whole parade that was willing to come out there out loud and on purpose. You say, but why was those people telling him to shut up? Because anytime you acknowledge who Jesus is, it destroys demonic strategies. They were telling him to be quiet because they heard what he was saying. They didn't agree that he was the Son of David. They didn't want the Sanhedrin or the Pharisees or the local whoever coming down on them and shutting down their opportunity to get an autograph from Jesus of Nazareth. He wasn't the Son of David to them. They didn't see him as healer, as savior. They didn't see him. So they were trying to put a lid on it. Blind man, be quiet. But because Jesus was so real to this blind man, because to this blind man, he was the Son of God. Because this blind man knew that his only hope to see again, to get his life back, to regain the freedom that healing does bring you, whether it's inner healing or physical healing, healing gives you freedom. You got to be strong to move around. I mean, you got to be well to have, you know, expectation and vision. So many things come back to your health, your wholeness. And this man believed that Jesus was the source, listen to me, the source for all of that. Who is our source? I mean, we have one source, but many resources. And we get the resources mixed up. People are a resource, but they're not your source. Knowledge is a resource, but not your source. Money, it's a resource, but not your source. one source. Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. I'm the way into. You walk through me, I'll connect you to resources. But when the resources become your source, it gets out of whack. And there's no blessing. And you find yourself working harder, singing louder, laboring in what doesn't even need to be a labor. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Come and find rest for your soul from all of that extra work that you seemingly think you have to do. Make me your source. And now I say that, we all need people and we all need money and we all need more information. It's how we get it. It's how we get it. It's how we can get into forms of manipulation and witchcraft, and we can do all kinds of posturing. Or we can begin to trust that He's our source. He's going to bring people into our life at the right time. He's going to connect us to the right job if we're lifting Him up. How do you lift Him up? We've got to acknowledge Him first. I mean, this is the day, this culture, this Barabbas culture, we deify people. I mean, we're no better than Athens, where they had the gods all on the pillars. Now, we don't do Zeus and Socrates and those people, but I mean, we hang out with people more than we hang out with His Word, with the Scriptures, with Him. I mean, this whole thought of making Jesus stand still, it's fascinating that you can get the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of this universe to stand still and get engaged with you. I mean, you can't even get some people to stand still and engage with you. Sometimes it's hard to get a hold of your own family members. They all love you, but who has time for you? Sometimes life gets in the way. I get that. But we're reading a story today. And that is that acknowledging Him can set off a ripple effect that could take you from where you are and throw you into a whole new season. Are you in need of a new season? Not just a new year with the same season, but a real new season. You know, where you really begin to believe again. You believe, but now you're going to believe again. You love, but now you're going to really love again. You used to trust, but now you're going to need to trust again. I mean, don't we all need to do something we used to do? If you don't get it again, then you live back there somewhere. And when you live back there, you forfeit your present. This man believed, if I can just get somebody, namely this Jesus, he put everything on that phrase, thou Son of David. Jesus said to Peter, Peter said, some say you're the Baptist, and some say you're the Elijah. What did Jesus say to Peter? Peter, who am I to you? Some say you're the Baptist. Look right here. Who am I to you? Who is Jesus to you? For many, he's just there in a time of trouble. For many, he's just there at the time of natural death. Or for many, he's there on Sunday morning. He didn't come into your life or my life just to be, you know, an Uber, you know, to drop us off and pick us up, and in between we don't see him. He happens to believe that he is the abundance of life, that he's the great connector. He wants to be your total source. He wants you and I to see him as the source of everything. And the people that you're making your source, honor them for being the resource. Honor them. Honor money. The Bible says it answers all things. Honor, you know, the knowledge that you're getting. Show honor to all of it. But I mean, begin to be grateful that that resource is coming, being funneled through the source. How does that work? You acknowledge him. You say, look at the verse right here. you're my Alpha, you're my Omega. You're my beginning and you're my end. You're everything. Is that what he is to you today? We get busy with life, priorities get mixed up, and pretty soon we don't even realize it, and we've made people our source. We've made money our source. And we have a hard time fitting in the promises or the praise. And boy, when some of that stuff is missing, and then we begin to forget. That's why Psalm 46:10 is an amazing verse right here. Be still and know that I'm God. What you're in isn't God. That money's not God. Those people aren't God. I'm God. I'm your author. I'm your finisher. I'm your Alpha. I'm your Omega. I saved you so I could lead you and guide you. When I left, I handed you over to the Holy Spirit. And he's another one just like me. Anything I can do, he can do. Any way that I helped you, he can help you. As you know me, I want you to know him. And I've given you a book of promises, over 7,000 of them. Over 1,500 alone are about divine healing. They're a lamp under your feet and a light under your path. Right there in the book of Psalms, a lamp under your feet and a light under your path. But you have to acknowledge that, wow, I need the Lord. I need the written word. I need the Holy Spirit. And it begins to come out of your mouth. It's not just religious talk. It's not just telling other people, well, I need the Lord. People all the time tell each other, I need the Lord. I couldn't have done that without the Lord. It's not telling other people, it's telling him, I need you. I need you. That's what gets the master of all to stop at your business, knock on the door of your marriage. Because whenever you begin to acknowledge him. Why is that so important? Well, it's because he said, and it's a verse over here I want to put up here, Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. Now, we use this verse at altar calls. It's not an altar call verse. It's a favor verse. It's about favor. See, this man was not afraid. Bartimaeus was not afraid amongst all of these people to declare something that was rare in that moment. These other people were saying, shut up. Don't say those words. Don't call him the Son of David. Don't yell out what you really believe. Don't make that stand. He began to cry even louder, what? Thou Son of David. Thou Son of David. He was confessing openly, visibly, boldly, fearlessly, who Jesus was to him. Why was these people so shut up? Don't say that. Because when you begin to acknowledge who Jesus is, that he's your Savior, your healer, your provider, he's the repairer of your breach, you know, he's your water walker, he's your stormtrooper, he's your help in a very present time of trouble. When you begin to acknowledge him, you disrupt demonic strategies. You get the devil mad. The devil wants you trying to figure everything out on your own. He don't mind if you go get prayer. He don't mind if you go to a service. But he don't want you trusting in the God that you got prayer about. He don't want you trusting in the fact that you were slain and something happened. He wants you to go through the motions. He wants you to trust in people, trust in money. What does Psalm 20 say? Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but I'll trust in the name of the Lord my God. That he saves his anointed. Thou Son of David, who is Jesus to you? And you may say, well, he's my Savior, he's my Lord. Amen. I pray that that's true. And if that's true, then you can have faith in that. And you can know that by acknowledging that. What did he say? If you acknowledge me before people, I'll acknowledge you before my Father. He was saying that's where the favor comes from. Jesus said, I don't heal anybody unless I see the Father doing it. When I see the Father saying, green light, heal, I heal because Father says heal. Father says bless. Father says now miracle. And you acknowledge me. It's almost too easy that we miss it. What are you saying, Billy Burke? I'm saying that a lot of us are still fearful and being visible and verbal about Jesus in our life. Some are still ashamed. Sometimes the only place we feel safe in acknowledging him is, you know, when we're in among our Christian friends, church gatherings. He wasn't at church. He wasn't in a spiritual setting. He was out on Main Street. And he was letting everybody around him know, that Jesus guy, I can't see him with my eyes, but with my heart, he's the Son of David. Yeah, that got Jesus' attention. Because to call him Savior, to call him King, to call him the Son of David in that setting, in front of all those people, took some faith, took some strength. The devil wants you to sign a code of silence. He doesn't want you to be out loud and on purpose in any setting where his name is concerned. You can begin today in some small way, just in your own space, in your own circle, talking to yourself. That's where you practice. You're my Savior. You're my healer. You're my source. You connect me to the people. You connect me to the open door. You connect me to the job. You connect me to my next new season. I acknowledge you in all my ways. I believe it's Proverbs 3, verse number 6, down in that range. It says, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will bring it to pass. This whole story is about acknowledgement. It's about he's not Jesus from Nazareth to me. I mean, he is, but he's more than that. Make sure today that Jesus is more than just someone you go see at church or someone that you read about. Make him thou Son of David. Sometimes we say, make Jesus and Savior, make him Lord. Many different ways to say this. So I just want to tell you how important it is that you and I have the ability to cause Jesus to stop and listen and engage in your very need. Ask him today. Ask yourself that question today. Who is he to me? Every year we hold a water baptism in the Gulf of Mexico. And it's part of this wonderful ministry that I get to do that I so enjoy when people come into the water over here off Clearwater Beach. I ask these people, what does Jesus mean to you? It's amazing what you hear. Well, he's my everything. He's my all in all. He's my best friend. You know, well, I just don't know what you mean by that question. You hear such a range of thought and opinion. And some people say, he is everything. He's my source of my life. He's my Savior. He's kept me from a devil's hell. He healed my body. It's so important that he is at the center stage of our lives. That he's our source who connects us to resource. And that is the balance for life. Lord, I come to you. Connect me. Open that door, I ask you. Connect me to that person, I ask you. Lord, here's what I need for our home and the inventory for our house. Here's the healing. And then that Holy Spirit is released to begin to get your little feet going in a certain direction, and to get your hand on a certain door, to punch in a certain number. And then just what? the same way it happened to him, it happens to you. You're standing in front of him. He's close. You experience presence. And your faith is just amazingly turned loose. And you begin to engage. And it's not like engaging at any other time. It's not like talking just to air. It's not just like looking into empty space. The weightiness of his presence draws close to you. That's why the Bible says the presence of the Lord brings the fullness of joy. Come on, acknowledge him today. Acknowledge him today in all your ways, and he will bring it to pass.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word healed. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.